For those of you that are visiting with us tonight, we're currently in a series on the subject of forgiveness. And tonight we want to talk about offenses. And more specifically, we want to talk about our attitude towards offenses. If we want to learn to forgive people for the different ways that they offend us, we need to first address how we look at offenses in general. Remember, I've entitled this series, Learning to Forgive. So tonight we're going to study the subject of offenses to make sure that you understand them in a biblical light, that you can respond to them the right way. I've entitled the message tonight, Expect to be Offended. And as I was praying about it coming in tonight, this is sort of like, now it's not going to be the length of four messages, so relax, but it's like about four messages just sort of stuck together, and if you don't get something out of this tonight, I'm afraid you're going to be sleeping through the message. So pray that at least something will speak to your heart tonight in a profound way. Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening for the joy of our fellowship and the anticipation in our heart every time we come to the Word of God. And Father, indeed, this matter of offenses and forgiveness is where we live. Often on a day-to-day or even weekly basis. And I pray tonight that as we establish this foundational point in this study, that you'd speak very clearly to hearts tonight, and Father, that folks would understand before you what they need to do, and they would respond in a way that glorifies you and will ensure your blessings in their life. And we'll be grateful, for we pray and we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If we are to respond to offenses the right way, the first thing that we need to recognize is the tendency that we have to unrealistic expectations. One of the chief obstacles that each of us has to get past in learning to forgive others is the matter of living with unrealistic expectations of people. If you place your hope in something which is unrealistic, you are certain to be disappointed every single time. I want you to turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, and I want you to look at a statement made by the psalmist. And if you will, this point is the first message that I was talking about. Some of you might be able to say, boy, I've got a handle on this matter of offenses. Nothing else spoke to me. Listen, this matter of expectations, this might be the message for you tonight from God. And it can be applied to many, many areas of our lives other than the subject we're talking about tonight. Psalm 62, in verse number 5, the psalmist says, Psalm 62, 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. The idea of waiting here is placing hope, expectation in. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. If you would stop putting such hope in other people to fulfill your expectations and start looking to God more to satisfy the needs that you feel you have, you will find yourself being less disappointed and offended by people. Those disappointments that we feel that people cause and letting us down often turn in to offenses that need to be forgiven. We cannot put unrealistic expectations on others without them sooner or later disappointing us. But with that being said, the Bible would teach us that even God is not safe from becoming the focus of our disappointments. Now let me have you turn your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11. I mentioned this in passing last week in our first message. I am not saying that God does sinful things that offends people. I'm talking about God does things at times that we don't understand, and because we don't understand it, our response to Him is disappointment and offense. And when you and I place unrealistic expectations on people, we are disappointed because people are not perfect. They let us down. They fail. And those disappointments turn into offenses. Well, when we don't understand what God is doing and we place an unrealistic expectation on Him, and He doesn't fulfill that, we become disappointed and we can become offended with God. Now, folks, I know this is true because one as great, and Jesus said, at that time, no greater man had been born of woman than John the Baptist. If John the Baptist could be offended by the Lord, I guarantee you and I can be. John's locked up in prison. His ministry apparently has lasted only 6 months. He's locked up in prison, and it becomes clear to him he apparently is not going to get out, and I guess he's just waiting until the day that he is going to die. And in that situation, he starts questioning God's will. He starts asking the question, have I made a mistake? When I stood up and said, this is He whom I was talking about. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is my... When I stood up, did I point my finger at the wrong person? Because John is thinking, listen, as humble as John was, as committed as he personally was to the things of God, as he sat in prison, he started to wonder whether maybe, hey, listen, I have pointed to the wrong guy, because why would the Messiah, why would God allow me to be in prison? Well, as John sent these men to ask Jesus this question, are you He or do we look for another? Jesus did some miracles for them. And then he says in Matthew 11 and verse number 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. Blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the leopard are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus was saying, you have just seen a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy concerning what the Messiah would do when He came. And listen to verse number 6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, folks, here is the first point I want you to get. If you and I at times can misunderstand God and be offended by Him, what hope do mere mortals have in our presence? What hope does your husband, your wife have? What hope does your mom and dad have? What hope does your best friend have? What hope does your coworker have? What hope does your brother and sister in Christ have if we have the capacity to be offended by God? We are placing an unrealistic expectation on other people if we think they are not going to offend us. Point number two. If we're going to learn to forgive people their offenses towards us, we need to have our thinking renewed. If we're going to learn to forgive other people their offenses towards us, we need to have our thinking renewed. Okay? This is message number two. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Now, folks, here again, like this matter of who we place our expectations in, who we hope in, this matter of our thinking being renewed has application far beyond this subject that we're talking about tonight, though it clearly applies to this subject tonight. Romans chapter 12, in verse number 2, the Apostle Paul says to the Christians at Rome, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't be conformed to the world, Paul says. This word conform means to be pushed into a mold. We might say, don't let the world's philosophy shape your thinking. But in contrast, be transformed from what you once were in the world before salvation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, folks, notice this, that the key to our transformation is this matter of our mind being renewed. And this is not just so about this matter of how we handle the subject of forgiveness. The key to our entire Christian life, the transformation of us more into the likeness of Christ, has to do with this matter of our mind being renewed. Well, what does it mean to have our mind renewed? Well, turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and verse number 21. Paul says to the Christians at Ephesus, "If so be that ye have heard him," notice that phrase, "heard him, and have been taught of him," notice that phrase, "and been taught of him, as the truth is in Jesus." Folks, this is talking about the communication of the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul is saying, in effect, if you have heard the Word of God, If you have had communicated the truth of Jesus Christ to you, notice what he says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. That's the former life that we had in the world, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now notice verse number 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is talking about that transformation, that transfiguration that Paul was talking about in Romans. That we put off what we were and we put on what we should be. And the key to that is this matter of the spirit of our minds being renewed. Notice what he says, verse number 25. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Put away lying. Hey, listen, that's what the world does. That's what we used to do. Paul says, have your mind renewed. Realize, listen, that stuff's wrong. That's not what God's Word teaches. That's not the example Jesus has given us. That's wrong. Put that aside, and now what you need to put on is the truth. And understand what God's Word teaches, what God would have you to do, is that when you speak to one another, you speak the truth to one another. Look, if you would, another passage. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 9. If you're not aware of this, Paul's letter to the Colossians, particularly the third chapter, parallels what the Apostle Paul teaches in the fourth and fifth and sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Not in as great a detail in Colossians, but there are clear parallels where, if you will, he's writing to the Colossians about some of the same things that he wrote to the Ephesians about. Well, notice what he says in Colossians 3, in verse number 9. He says, lie not one to another, just like he said to the Ephesians, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now listen to this. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image that created him. Now folks, simply what I believe that is saying is, that what we are being transformed into is being Christ-like, of conducting ourselves the way Jesus Christ did. His Spirit that is within us, affecting us to the point in our conduct that we reflect Him in the way He lived. And again, notice, it is tied to this matter of our mind being renewed through knowledge of Christ. What I have just described, this matter of your mind being renewed, folks, this is true biblical repentance for the Christian. Through the Bible, you and I come to see how Jesus lived. We hear how He wants us now to live as His children. We see where our thinking aligns with the world's ways instead of what the Bible teaches. And through a conscious decision, we exchange the world's thinking that we had been comfortable with, and we replace it now with what we learn from the Word of God. It is as simple as the world says, lying is okay, lying's justifiable. God's Word says, no, it's not. For me to be comfortable when I was lost, lying, but realize what the Word of God says and say, oh my, I didn't understand the Bible addressed that. I didn't realize that in God's sight, There's no such thing as a white lie. There's no such thing as an appropriate lie. It's wrong. Therefore, by God's grace, I'm not going to do that anymore. Folks, not only have we just defined what Paul is talking about in this matter of our mind being renewed, we've just defined what biblical repentance is. For my thinking to be changed from what it was that was wrong to what is right, and for my thinking to affect my conduct now. As this matter of our minds needing to be renewed relates to our subject tonight, one of the areas that our thinking needs to be renewed in is this matter of what we expect of others regarding the subject of offenses. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you really expect that others around you, I'm talking about your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your friends, relatives, neighbors, your co-workers, do you really expect that they will never offend you? If you would say yes, I would say, what planet have you been living on? You know, the truth of the matter is that we would answer no to that question. We would say, no, Pastor, I don't live believing my wife is never going to offend me. I don't live believing that my husband is never going to offend me. I don't live believing that my brothers and my sisters or my parents or my friends are never going to offend me. But you know what? Though in the peace and the lack of conflict of this auditorium tonight, we can say that. Isn't it different how we respond when the offense actually takes place? Because we act like we are surprised. We act like we cannot believe that it is happening. Therefore, we need to establish what the Bible says that we can expect about this matter of offenses. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. If I understand God's word, I would say, if Jesus Christ were here tonight physically with us, He would tell you and me concerning this matter of offenses, children, expect to be offended. Just settle it in your heart. You are going to be offended. And it is important to me that you understand that, where you can respond the right way when the offense comes. Now, folks, in weeks ahead, we will talk about the seriousness of offenses and that we should not take offending other people lightly. It is something very serious, but we're not talking about that tonight. We're not talking about what other people do to us. Tonight we're talking about how we respond to what other people do to us. Do you understand tonight? Nobody takes your joy from you. You give it up by choice. Do you understand? Nobody makes you angry. You choose to become angry. Nobody makes you bitter. Bitter is how you choose to respond. And in the Christian life, one of the things that the Word of God communicates to us over and over and over again, that anytime something is happening between two people, it does not make any difference if there is an innocent party or not. God has got things He wants to teach the innocent person too. And it has been my experience that it does not make any difference how old the saint is in the Lord. They have not arrived. There are still things that they can learn. There are still things that I can learn about a right response to people, whether I have been wronged or not, whether I am innocent in the situation or not. So tonight, put out of your thinking, well, yes, but you don't understand what they did. I don't care what they did. I'm not talking about them. We are addressing you and your response to them. And the first thing that you need to understand, the Bible teaches you are going to be offended. You just need to be prepared for it to come. Matthew chapter 18. And verse number 7. Jesus says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offenses cometh." Now folks, there's no question. Two times Jesus states offenses are serious business. They should be taken seriously. But right in the middle of that verse, he says, it needs be, however, it's necessary that offenses will come. Folks, one of the reasons it's necessary is he's talking about the offenses the world calls. We're in a great spiritual conflict. Do you think there can be a spiritual conflict without offenses being created? Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. This is Luke's record of what Jesus said about this subject. And Luke is even a little bit more clear in his wording. Luke 17 and verse number 1, "Then said he," referring to Jesus, "unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come." Again, we see the seriousness of the offense. But folks, notice Jesus said, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. If I could reword it, it is saying, listen, you can't get through life without being offended. Therefore, here is unbiblical thinking on the subject of offenses. To say to someone, "I can't believe that you would offend me." to say to someone, that person, they could never offend me. We are too good of friends. To say, I'm shocked, I'm speechless, I can't eat, I can't sleep, because you, my mate, you, my child, you, my friend, you, my brother or sister in Christ, have offended me. Folks, it is naive to think, in light of what the Scripture teaches, that you are not going to be offended. Jesus would say, settle it. Settle it in your mind. You are going to be offended. And folks, let me tell you something. I don't have enough contact with my enemies for them to offend me too much. It's the people that are closest to me. It's the people that I love the most that create the offenses. And I know it's so for me towards them. Do you know, you can imagine, if you would think about it, that with this transition that's taking place, and Pastor John taking the reins and me stepping down, that there's all sorts of potential for offenses here. There's all sorts of potentials for, you know, John just sort of taking charge and me getting my feelings hurt. For me being overbearing and constantly looking over his shoulder. You know what? I was so sure of the potential. The Pastor John and I sat down and talked about the subject for about 45 minutes. And you know the way we talked about it? Not it might happen. Listen, it is going to happen. I am going to do things that is going to offend him in this process. He is going to do things that are going to offend me in the process. We just need to settle now it's going to happen where we can respond to it the right way, because we understand, listen, that is not the goal going forward. Let me see how I can irritate Pastor John this week. Let me see what I can do to really get under the skin of the pastor this week. Folks, let me ask you a question. Remember the example of Job, Job chapter 1? Job went through that first wave of trials, that first wave of satanic attack. He lost all his possessions, his servants, except for one surviving witness that brought the bad report. He lost his children. The Bible says, and these things happen just one right after another. The phrase is, while he was yet speaking, while he was yet speaking. It started off with his material things at the beginning of the day, and it ended up with the life of his children at the end of the day. You remember how Job responded? The Bible says he fell down before the Lord and he worshiped, and he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you think that was a spontaneous response? Folks, let me tell you something. That is not a spontaneous response from an immature Christian. That is the response of a man who settled long before this event took place, who was responsible for everything he had, including his family. And my point is this, if you want to respond the right way, when serious offenses come your way, so that you don't end up sinning because of sins that other people place upon you, you need to settle it ahead of time how you are going to respond. You need to be prepared for the eventuality that is going to take place. Let me show you something, in my estimation, just wonderful, that is seen in the Word of God. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. This is wonderful to me because it explains to us that the reason God is communicating these things to us in His Word is to prepare us for these times of offense. He is trying to equip us ahead of time that when the event takes place, we're all set up to respond to it the right way. Now, folks, I'm not saying that there is not a learning curve in this. I'm not saying that we don't understand it in our head to the point that we could articulate it, but yet in the passion and the heat of the moment, that we fall down flat on our face. But I'm saying that Jesus makes it clear that He is trying to communicate to us things through His Word that will prepare us for the offense that we might respond to it the right way. Now look how He did this with the disciples. John chapter 16 and verse number 1. Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." He says, verse 2, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whoso killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." And Jesus says, I'm telling it to you ahead of time that when it takes place, you won't be offended. Now, folks, I would say somebody beating you, throwing you out of the synagogue, killing you, that is something to be offended over, wouldn't you? But Jesus says, listen, I'm giving you a heads up on this, so when you see these things unfold, you might be able to respond to it the right way. I think the primary context is He's talking about the type of offense that John the Baptist was struggling with. I think it goes without saying, if people do this to you, you're going to be offended by them and you're going to have to deal with that. And He's talking about that as well. But he's saying, listen, some things are going to take place in the future concerning persecution. And I want you to know about it ahead of time. I want to tell you up front it's going to happen where you can respond to it the right way. Folks, I would submit to you that's the very reason in Matthew 18 and Luke 17 that Jesus talks about, listen, it's for sure offenses are going to come. He's telling us about it ahead of time where we can be prepared as Christians to respond to it the right way when it happens. Look, if you would, at Psalm 119. Again, a fabulous verse that talks about the part the Word of God plays in us being able to respond to offenses the right way. Psalm 119. And verse 165. Psalm 119, 165, David says, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." How can that be? How can a person have great peace when people are doing them wrong? How can people not be offended when people do things to them that the majority would clearly say, "Oh boy, you've got a right to be offended"? David says it has to do with the child of God's relationship to the Lord through the Word of God. "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Folks, think about some of the things the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches God is sovereign, right? That means God is in complete control. Nothing happens to me that God doesn't allow. Nothing happens in my life, in your life, that first does not go through the throne room of God's grace to get an okay. Boy, you know what? That gives the child of God real peace that knows that and believes that. When things happen that we would consider are unpleasant. You know what else the Bible says? The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Something else the Bible teaches me is that, hey, listen, regardless of what it is that is coming into my life, not only has God allowed it, God has allowed it for a purpose. He's accomplishing something through it. How often has that truth brought you back into spiritual center and restored your peace? Though there is a storm raging on the outside, you are saying to yourself, "Lord, I know Your Word teaches that You have a purpose and You have a plan in this for me, and I'm going to trust You." And all of a sudden, the sweet peace of the Spirit of God washes over our lives. Still don't have any more answers, but we're just reminded, listen, I don't have to fall apart over this, because I know deep within my being God's Word is true and God has got a plan through this. Well, folks, let me tell you something. The more we know about God, the more we know about His ways, the more we know about His Word, as we live practically loving the law, loving the Word of God, believing it, wanting to apply it to our life, claiming it as our own, not only do we have the insight that offenses are going to come, but we have the ability to trust God when they do come. Now, in the weeks ahead, we're going to be very specific about different levels of offense and biblically how they should be responded to. But folks, tonight, if I would express the goal that I had for this message, it would be for your thinking to come in line with the Scriptures that God teaches you it is going to happen. Therefore, make whatever decision you need to make tonight. Communicate whatever you need to communicate to the Lord, that you've heard that loud and clear, where when it happens, you won't be surprised. And you'll have a foundation to move forward on that you can respond to it the right way. Let's pray. Father, I pray for all of us tonight because none of us is exempt from this matter of being offended. And Lord, we know that so often our response only complicates the situation. Father, I believe that your sheep hear your voice. I believe you, dear Holy Spirit of God, take the truth of the Word of God as it's communicated, and you preach that personalized message to every heart that wants to hear, that wants to be instructed. And I believe by faith that you have done that in the hearts and lives of your people tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would accomplish something through the Word of God tonight. We've seen tonight that your Word has the ability to transform us more into the likeness of Christ. You have the ability to renew our mind and our thinking. And I pray that that miracle would take place in this place tonight, as people choose to yield up the way the world thinks, the way they used to think, and that they would purpose, Lord, I'm going to accept your word. I'm going to believe it and move forward in that belief. Of course, Lord, I pray for that individual here tonight that could be struggling with their relationship with you. I pray that they might come and grant us the opportunity with an open Bible to explain to them how they can know for sure that their sins are forgiven and heaven's their home. Father, bless this time of invitation. Might eternal things be accomplished. And we'll be grateful, for we pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.